pro-tips. Madeline can hear the ticking of her biological clock and has had no luck finding a sperm donor. Then her best friend completely floors her with a suggestion of a solution to her dilemma.
"So what happened?" Hugo asked, leaning back in his seat. "I'm not sure I want to talk about it," Madeline sulked. "Okay, whatever you want," he nodded. "You'll never guess who I ran into at the hospital this afternoon." But of course, Madeline could no more keep her disastrous meeting with Ross to herself, any more than she could her initial plan to have a baby. "Oh, Hugo, he was awful," she confessed, taking a sip of her soda and pretending it was champagne. And then her sorry story spilled from her lips. "Maybe the next guy will be better," Hugo offered encouragingly once Madeline had finished. "Maybe," she frowned, "but he was top of my list. I was hoping I wouldn't have to get to potential donor number two." "Hey folks, sorry I'm late. What have I missed?" Celia landed beside them, her face radiant and her jet black hair immaculately straight and hanging down her back. Heads throughout the restaurant turned to look at her as she unwrapped herself from her winter coat. Madeline felt certain she'd never look so amazing when she'd just emerged from a stressful surgical situation. It would be easy to hate Celia if she wasn't so damn nice. Hugo leapt up, took her pale pink coat and then kissed her on the cheek, and Madeline felt a stab in her heart. Usually she managed to ignore her feelings for Hugo, but today, in her highly charged, extra emotional state, it was an effort. Hugo held out Celia's seat, but before she sat and leaned across, she air-kissed Madeline's cheek. "How are you, darling? Feels like forever since we caught up. Although Hugo's kept me up to date." She raised her eyebrows as she lowered herself into her chair. "I must say I'm surprised but intrigued by your venture. How was your meeting tonight?" Madeline rolled her eyes and was halfway through rehashing the story when their waiter arrived. "Good evening," he grinned as he placed a gold embossed menu down in front of each of them. "I'm Hans and tonight I'll be serving you. Would you like me to run through these chef specials?" The three of them looked up and nodded, although Madeline was in no mood for eating anything. Celia ordered the lobster bisque and Hugo the pan-roasted dorade. They both requested the suggested wine accompaniments and then Hans looked to Madeline for her decision. She scanned the menu once again. "I'll have the baby spinach and frisée salad, please. No wine." Celia tisked. "You'll have to eat more than that if you want to get pregnant." She'd always been one of those women who could eat heartily and still imitate a beanpole. There was literally nothing not perfect about her. "I'll worry about that when I'm actually pregnant," Madeline replied, perhaps a little too tersely. "But I have a major hurdle to get over first." Celia sighed and flicked her hair over her shoulders. "I'm still struggling with why you would actually want to do this. Are you sure you know what you're getting yourself into?" "Celia," Hugo warned, reaching over and placing a hand on his longtime girlfriend's knee. "This is Madeline's decision." She gave him a look. "I know, and part of me thinks it's great if she wants to have a baby, then why should she wait around for Mr. Wright? But," she looked back to Madeline, "I never saw you as the motherly type. What brought this on?" Madeline swallowed, inwardly thinking about the Patterson curse. Although she didn't believe there was any truth in such things, finding out about the curse had affected her more than she was willing to admit, and she very much wanted to prove it rubbish. Of course, she couldn't tell her friends this. They were liable to laugh in her face, think she was joking, and then, when they realised she was serious, start questioning her sanity. Besides, it wasn't just the curse. It went much deeper than that, to a yearning she'd been trying to ignore for years. "My sister Lucinda and her husband are trying for a baby. Being back home, talking with her, and also seeing the children of some of my old school friends made me realise I'm not getting any younger. I never consciously decided not to have children, but work always came first, and I guess I always imagined that when I met Mr. Wright, I'd think about a family then. But I'm 35 years old and Mr. Wright is nowhere in sight." "So you think you might go the anonymous donor route instead now?" Hugo asked. She sighed. Initially, the sperm bank option had seemed too cold, clinical and calculated. But if Ross Clark was an indication of the options on the unknown donor site, maybe an anonymous donor would be the best. At least then she wouldn't know if her baby's father was a lunatic. But that thought didn't sit well either. "I don't know." Madeline ran her fingers through her hair in frustration as the waiter arrived with Hugo and Celia's drinks. She eyed them jealously. "Let's talk about something else. Why were you delayed in surgery?" Celia puffed out air between her lips. "You'd think a tonsillectomy would be simple, right?" She launched into a description about her hellish afternoon in which a 5-year-old patient had suffered an extreme reaction to the anaesthesia. "Oh, shit." Hugo and Madeline offered their sympathies, having both experienced equally traumatic situations. They exchanged stories of operations gone wrong, both fascinated and horrified by the memories in a way that only other doctors could understand. When their meals arrived, talk continued in this vein, for which Madeline was thankful. Although finding a donor had been her focus the last 2 weeks, she didn't want to lament on her disappointment all evening. She thought her friends had all but forgotten her donor woes when Celia interrupted Hugo in the middle of a graphic description of one of his patients who had hemorrhaged badly during a VBAC. "I've got it," she shrieked, as if she'd suddenly had a premonition of the winning lottery numbers. "What?" Hugo and Madeline asked at the same time. Celia grinned, her eyes lighting up her whole face. She pointed between herself and Hugo. We're not planning on having children. Golly, I could never do that whole pregnancy and birth thing, and I'd go insane if I had to take more than a week off work. But I must admit it'd be a pity to waste these good genes. She leaned over and pinched Hugo's cheeks like he was a chubby little baby. He didn't look impressed. Hugo can be your sperm donor. Hugo dropped his fork and knocked over his glass of wine. His mouth fell open. Madeline froze, shock paralysing her at Celia's candid suggestion. Don't look so appalled, you two. Celia waved her index finger at them as if they were a couple of naughty children. Madeline felt drops of Hugo's wine dripping over the table and making a cold, wet patch on her favourite white trousers, but still she couldn't move. Hugo looked as frozen as her, but Celia barreled on. It's the perfect solution. He's good-looking, intelligent, funny, in good health, fit. She went on and on, listing all the reasons Madeline had already thought of. And best of all, he's available right now, and you won't have to go through any more awkward pseudo-dates trying to find the right candidate. You can just get straight to the fun part. Madeline gulped. Fun part? Images of her and Hugo in bed, their limbs entwined in the throes of passion, landed unbidden in her head. Her cheeks flushed. Actual conception would be done by the turkey-baster method, she said, only just managing to choke out the words. Celia laughed. By fun, I meant morning sickness, swollen ankles and horrific food cravings. Oh, right. Her heart rate slowed a little, but she couldn't bring herself to look at Hugo. So what do you think? Celia asked, all but bouncing in her seat. Madeline braved a glance, hope sparking within her that he might share Celia's enthusiasm, but Hugo looked as if he'd lost the power of speech. She honestly didn't know what to say. She couldn't tell the truth, that part of her loved the idea, that if Celia hadn't been in the picture, she might have summoned the courage to ask him herself, that if he'd been the one to suggest it, she'd have done a celebratory jig around the restaurant. Really? Can one of you just say something? Celia picked up her glass of wine. You'd think I'd suggested a threesome or something.
You've been listening to Rachel Johns, reading from her novel, The Patterson Girls. Narratives is produced by Karina Wynne-Moylan of Arts Canvas Bay FM 99.9 and is supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation.